Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Gym Owners Podcast. I'm your host, Tyler. Over there is John.
That's me.
All right, guys, we're going to talk about the four things that you can do right now that you need to start doing next in order to get yourself more leads. John, you had kind of blown me up about this morning. I think you have a lot to go off of here. You want to give them an idea what to expect from this episode?
Yeah, the four things that I had to be able to get out of my brain into yours and then eventually have us come and speak to all you wonderful people was the number one question you and I get from everyone that either we work with or people that are in our community, which is, how do I get leads? What do I do next? And the four things that are the key things that we always talk about is, one, you need to get your offer in order. Two, you need to have testimonials or an understanding of the people that you have worked with already. Why did they come to you? Start to get a feel for the things that they say that are positive about working with you. The third piece is going to be the pain points. As you see why people came to you, it'll become clear why they came. What pain were they running from? And then, of course, they're now working with you. So it's for the solutions. What solution did you provide? What service do you have that solved that very specific pain point? Tyler, people don't just magically show up to your gym. And I think that there's too many of us that get comfortable sitting back, being content with how many people we have, or just hoping that someone calls you.
Or being content with the fact that you got your business to exist, which, by the way, out of the blue is a very solid achievement. You've taken a thing that was nothing from an idea. You've turned it into a physical place and a brand and an ethos and a training philosophy. And also you put a lot of passion into it. And then people sit on it. And they think that that is the finish line. And it's the hardest thing that specifically what gym owners have to cut. The realization you need to come to is getting your gym open is not where success is. That is where the work starts. Unfortunately, everything else, you're just giving birth, buddy. Now you got to raise this kid. This is a very, very, I was just talking to somebody who owns many businesses in my town here the other day about this very specific thing. And he said almost in every business that he's ever created, he gets to this trap where he thinks it's like I said before, as soon as it's open, that's the finish line. And he's like, No. He said, that's just the cost of doing business. That's the VIG. That's what you got to pay to play. And all the risk and all the money and all the headaches and all the ideas with no return does not give you any return once the lights come on. So it's really important to know that you've got to this point, it's there, but now you need to start growing. You cannot sit back, you can't do nothing. And so let's dive into the very first thing, something that we won't go too deep into because this is what we do at Gym Hacking, but getting your offer correct. And getting your offer right is very important because this is how you can make sure that, one, your price is correct, your prices are accurate, that the services you're offering are able to be scaled, able to be delivered, that they have value, and that they're presented in a way that allows your clients to choose higher value levels of service if they want. It also needs to allow these people to have services presented in a way that fits what they want to do, what they want to accomplish. Not about you and your business or your equipment or your name or any sort of stuff. This is about what can you do for them and in what time period and for how much money and what other options can they choose up or down? Like, where can they fit with their budget and their needs? Getting your offer right is extremely important. If you do not have your offer, your services and pricing presented in a solid and profitable way that fits client needs, you're going to either get nobody or you're going to get lots of people and not make any money either way. By the way, the outcomes are all the same. You're almost better off not getting people and not making money than getting a bunch of people and not making money because you're going to do a lot less work. So get your offer right. We can help you with that. There's all the whatever. Message us, talk to us, join the Facebook group, go to hackyourgym.com. That's the thing we do. We do it really, really well, and we've helped a lot of people with that thing. I think we move right on, John. We're the solution to point number one. Fix your offer.
Fix your offer because it'll sink you.
Yeah. It'll sink you whether you get leads or not. It's very important. And if you are getting leads, the problem with having an offer that doesn't really fit them or you or whatever principles make things work, what's going to happen is nothing is going to flow right at all. Like, once that happens, you may get new leads, but then people are not going to buy. Therefore, you're going to be very discouraged about selling. because every time you try to sell, you're getting told no 8 out of 10 times, 5 out of 10 times. And when you do get a yes, you make $150, $200. It's not the way you want to be doing business.
What's at the core of all four of these principles that we're talking about today is really at the core is fighting upstream and fighting against the feeling or the concept that we have been told now for years, which is just be bad at something long enough until you're just not bad at it anymore. Just suck until you don't suck anymore. And I'm here to tell you that you do not have to do it this way.
Yeah, you just have to try to get better every day. You fools, what are you doing here?
Well, you can get better and you can get better quickly. Yeah. And that's where you don't want to be playing for too long, incorrectly or inaccurately expressing who you are, what your gym does, what's important to you, because it's so much capital that is lost. Listen, if you have all the time in the world to be able to become an expert through experience, then by all means do it. But the problem is that I would rather expedite my learning. I know enough folks that have done crack that I don't need to do crack. Because it's like, you know what? I'm good. I've learned from your experience. I can leapfrog that experience to be like, let's do something different with my time. And once your offer's right, the very next thing that we get asked is, okay, now what do I do? Just because I have all my sales in place.
Yeah. Nobody's showing up at the door.
Coming out. Exactly. And this is where
we go to testimonials, right? And I want you to go into depth of like the real value of this, how I want you to tell them how to execute this and why. But the testimonials thing, as I see it, is you can tell people all over the world, you can yell on the mountaintop how good you are, how much you want to help these people, what you can do. You really can do it. And you can communicate that well too. Like, I care about you. I can do this. I'm going to get you the results. But the problem is you're the person who's trying to sell them something. Mm-hmm. And that there's always going to be that barrier. And that barrier is, can they actually do it? That you are not speaking to them as them, no matter how hard you try, even if you're speaking their language, they want somebody who was in their shoes and got through the line and to the other place, got the results, feels better. That means more coming from someone who has done business with you than it does from you trying to convince them to do business with you.
And Tyler, I think one thing that I would challenge on this, you said, I think, you as the gym owner or a personal trainer, you can accurately talk about your business. You can accurately talk about the things that you do. My concern is, my biggest fear is for all of you, is that you think you know how to talk about your business. And that is more dangerous in the end. And that's why you can completely expedite and get past, oh, am I saying the right thing? What do I say? How do I call something? How do I connect with people? Completely bypass all of those concerns by just harvesting the testimonials you already have. You just need one. You need one person that, and they will give you the words. And that's exactly what you're talking about, Tyler, which is the idea that completely bypass any concern if you're saying the right thing and just use the words of the people that already love your business, that already have experienced success, because that helps you with the next 2 points that we want to talk about today.
Let's run real quick. How do we get testimonials? How and where? Let's give them some basic guidelines. One, I would say, contact the people that are in your gym and do it. Do it via email. Ask them in person, but you need something for them to literally write it down in, which means via email, via text message. That's very important, because if you do just ask, hey, go leave us a review, that drifts very quickly. And then you have to ask frequently and often and remind. And it is not a very like high value thing in the short term, to where you want to cash in a bunch of your asks and a bunch of social credibility by blowing people up about, hey, did you leave us a Google review? Or, hey, did you answer the email I sent? That becomes push. So don't be pushy. Just make it easy for them to write a handful of different things. The second principle I would say, that's a thing that we started doing recently as well, instead of just asking for a testimonial or one single question, is ask anywhere from 5 to 8 questions, actually. They may not answer all, they may phone in half of them, but by asking them about their experience from many different angles, it allows you to pick which one, which sentence, which part of one of those answers you're going to use. You can use many then from the same person because it's a different, speaking on a different thing. And I think that variation is very important. And otherwise you're going to get like, no, people are great. They're nice. It was fun. So you do want to make sure you poke a little deeper and look at it from all sides and give them a chance to make it real easy for them.
I would have 2 different phases for testimonials. The very first phase is kill as many birds with one stone as you can. Make sure that Google My Business is set up for your company. The odds are if you're a brick and mortar location, you already have it. You've already verified it. We've already talked a lot about this in a whole other episode, a couple episodes ago. So dive into that. Have that set up because then when people come and they join your gym, either they've been there for a week or they've been there for a month, have some type of automation or just a reminder on your phone or on your calendar to send that testimonial email out, which is directing them right back to Google My Business. So that's where they're going to leave that review.
The big
that's
one.
Phase one.
The
that's
single the big review. One. Yeah, that's a one review that's outward facing. And that's important because that adds up. If you get 100 of those, you're killing.
The phase two testimonial that I would do is tie it to a milestone. Do you have a 6-week program that you're running? Do you have a challenge that you're running? Do you have maybe a semi-private block where they've been doing kind of that small group personal training with one of your coaches or with you and they just PR'd, right? Whatever it is, have something where then I would take those 5-6 questions and ask specifically about whatever service they were just in, because now you just got a testimonial, not just generally for the gym, but very specifically about the coach they were working with, that specific service that they were in, because you have 2 different things that you can do. You can always harvest reviews from Google and turn that into social media content, and we'll go into that a little bit more later. But there is another piece where you can continue to get reviews and testimonials that don't have to be tied to Google, because it's kind of one you're done when you're in it.
Yeah.
But boy, you can use a lot of it for content to support, again, specific programs, call outs to coaches, and really just start to connect emotionally with people that are not quite members of your gym yet or are now a client of yours.
This also goes really far as a retention strategy, because if you actually do it frequently and you say, let's say month one, hey, tell us how we're doing. Rate your experience. Answer a few of these questions. That's great. Just like you said, after some benchmarks, some big achievements there. After their first year, check in. Say, hey, it's been a year. Congratulations. We loved having you this time. Please recap your experience. Tell us what we can do. You can do it as an opportunity for feedback and the general reviews too. So there's a lot of things you can do. Our friend Willem uses these things. I don't know which one he still is operating now, but he used to have an iPad sitting out in front of the gym, like at the end of every session, and at each entrance and exit to the door or to the building, where people could go in and they would just rate. They could just give star ratings on the coaching, the class, the programming, the vibe, the music, just pop, 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 pop on the way out, right? And that gave him constant feedback if his staff were fucking up, if they were making mistakes. Now that's just one. That's on the fulfillment and retention side. There's value in that. But we want to stick for sure on the how to get leads side of this, which is getting their words in their words about their achievements and their successes and their experience when they're hot and fresh in their mind. After PRs, after they, you know, if they came and wanted to lose 30 pounds, after they lost pound number 30, hit them up. Really get them an opportunity to celebrate them, celebrate their wins with them, and then ask them to help you do this for other people. They want other people to have that experience, I promise. So from those testimonials...
Well, just like that, you now have a content strategy.
Yes.
So if you're
what do we always talk about with content? Use their words in their language, identify who they are, what they want, and let them know that you have the solution. That's how you want a message on social media, in your videos, and all your stuff. So now with all these testimonials, your messaging is on point. Those are the words you can use. You can literally, like we said, screenshot, post them, just make them into videos. You can also just start to infiltrate those correct phrases. Let them bleed into your copywriting as well. And that's really important that you'll elaborate on this for me, but let them determine what their pain points were from your existing members, the people who like working with you. What were their pain points when they came in? What were their main concerns? What maybe was the reason they didn't want to join a gym? What finally got them over the hump? What could you have done to get them over that hump faster? Because when you know that from those testimonials, now you can address the thing that's most important in getting someone to join a gym, their pain points.
And that is point number three, which is you don't want to just stop the same way you don't stop doing things in your business just because you open. You're not going to stop this process just because you now have started to harvest those testimonials and even start to use those testimonials at wholesale for your content strategy. You need to drill in deeper and look at those pain points. Because if you cannot accurately describe why people join your gym that are there right now, you will suffer from, Tyler, what I think is one of the more painful things when I sit in front of someone and I am passionately talking to them about the topic that I care about more than anything, that I spend lots of time in, that maybe I even have opened a business about. And I'm talking about all the intricacies, about the things that I think are really interesting and that I love about this topic of fitness, macros and muscle groups and everything else. And then it hits you. Their eyes glazed over 5 minutes ago, and you're just getting this blank stare, and you have no idea why it happened.
And you don't know where to go from there because you're already in the middle of your thing. You know what I mean? You're already in, like, you're here. I want to talk to you. And I was like, bleh! And you dumped out your purse or whatever. And now you're like, oh shit, I just showed them everything I got and everything I know, and they don't care. And now how do I salvage this? It's very rough. So when you learn all of these points that we've talked about, from having a solid offer that aligns with them, harvesting testimonials and using that, one, to attract people, and two, to make sure you communicate the way these people are thinking, that becomes now the way that this never happens. You're not left looking at that blank stare, that feeling like you've just, you know, poured your heart out to somebody and they don't care. Because they don't. They don't care.
Because if accurately speak to it, those pain points, they connect. Yeah. There's that emotional connection, which is like, oh man. Like the one that I felt, I heard a guy give the other day. He goes, the biggest fear that I have is I want to lose weight, but I don't want to lose weight because I want to like look better naked. I want to lose weight because I don't want to be afraid to fly with my family on the airplane and have to use the seatbelt extender.
Yeah.
Like that was a visceral thing that he shared that, man, if you know that example, that connects with me because guess what? I watched my mom as a little kid have to get the seatbelt extender and it was fucking devastating for her.
Yeah.
And so that's a real thing. Talk about an emotional connection that you immediately can start to connect with people.
You'll also find when you go through this stuff to find those emotions, there's pain points that are the reason that they need to join the gym, right? There's also things that they're going to talk about if you can get this out of them in the longer form testimonials or simply talking to people. You have a relationship and talk to them. Learn this information one way or another. Systemize it, get it in writing, but find a way to learn it from new people. You get someone signed up, you're like, man, what's the hardest thing for you to overcome when you got in here? Ask them that.
Right.
It's a real way to connect with them. And one of the things that I find all the time for people is like, I've just never really been comfortable in the gym. Well, I don't really know what to do. Or like, you guys got all these fit people. When you hear them say that, once you come in and you start talking about exercises and we'll do snatch, we'll do pull-ups, and now you're just feeding their fear. Like they came in wanting this to be put to rest and you're just fitness, knowledge. And they go, oh shit. And they glaze over. Mm-hmm. And that is very important for you to know how to avoid, not just how to avoid running their fear all the way up to 10, but also knowing what that is and knowing that it's actually easy for you to put that to rest. It's like, you know, you can just say, actually, we've had lots of people say that. And when they come in, they really are happy to show you some testimonials from people that thought the same thing. And by the way, just putting one testimonial out there that just says, you know, I was ready to lose some weight, but I had never been in a gym. I'd never been comfortable. I saw, but I've heard what CrossFit was or whatever gyms. I always was worried there'd be a bunch of gym bros and fit people. And I came in and you know what? There was gym bros and fit people, but they were super nice and accepting and welcoming. And it was great. And that mm-hmm. way you can use all these secondary benefits like your community and stuff to put to rest those inhibiting pain points. Your community is not an attractor. I hate to break it to you. I've said this many times before. It doesn't attract people. No one wants to join your family or your cult. But if they think that people are dicks and you're like, nah, dude, people are super nice. And you show them reviews, testimonials where people say they're nice. That can really do it. Now, the next step, number four, we've got an offer. We've got harvesting testimonials, their words from them. And then using those testimonials to figure out the pain points to build your messaging. Number four is we're going to present them with solutions.
You have to provide a solution for every pain point that you present. So that's kind of next level. You don't want to be talking about problems that people have that you can't solve. And if you have a gym,
they don't think they have. That's another one.
Because if you don't know, you may be, and this is why it's so important. You have to know why your people are there. Next thing is you have to know how to talk to them about why they're there. Because if you don't, if we jump ahead, Tyler, how many times have we dealt with this? If you jump ahead to the solution is the fun part. The solution is what I like doing, you like doing. And the odds are, if you're listening to this, this is what you like doing. This is literally what we do. We provide a solution, which is through fitness. So because that's the shiny object, if you skip these three other steps and jump right to the solution, you are destined for failure.
You'll miss the mark 9 times out of 10 on their pain point. You're not hearing them in their words. You're not presenting them people in their own words. You're just, frankly, you're that guy trying to close the deal an hour in on the first date. You know what I mean? That's the truth. Is you're coming in, you're going like, membership. You want to join my membership? We have membership. It costs this much a month. Look at the equipment. You can use the equipment. This is going to be great. Do you want to do it? You want in? And there's like, whoa, slow down, dude. Like, you know, slow down. That's a real thing. So when you come in and you really identify who they are, what they want, what they're trying to get, what's in the way, it's very easy then to, with just a couple questions, or like we talked about before with, you know, in the intro here with, you know, the good mechanic. So all you got to do is know how to communicate in a way that chills that out. You don't got to go in and be dorky about all the stuff that's their pain points. She's like, nah, I totally understand. Lots of people feel that way. We're going to get you through that. I promise.
Yeah, and if you
say, I promise. Have you tried promising somebody something every once in a while and backing it up, guys? It mm-hmm. fucking works. It works. If you mean it, it works. Just tell them. Promise somebody you're going to do the thing that you're going to do. Christ, it's not that hard.
Yeah, when you think about it from that mechanic standpoint, you go in to meet with a mechanic. If you have somebody that's breaking down all these things, how much they love about the cars that they work on and all the intricacies of all the amazing things that they think is awesome as a mechanic, I just want my car to work. I don't need to hear about all those things. We don't need to be friends. I don't need to be besties with my mechanic. What I needed to do.
I don't got to join his family. I don't got to do barbecues with them if I don't want to. I might.
Absolutely.
But that's not on my list on day one.
I want that's him to be brief. I want him to make me feel reassured and confident that what my desired outcome is to get my car back on the road, he's going to take care of that for me.
There's another thing that we've run into a lot with people who want to do you want to do fitness different. And I appreciate that. You want to connect with people, make sure they're a good fit before they join your gym. I get that. Quit wasting your time and their time. I beg of you, stop wasting your time and their time trying to be pals with them, trying to impress them, trying to do all this shit before they decide to sign up. Same thing with the mechanic, John. You go into the mechanic. You do not want him to be like, you want to sit down for coffee for 45 minutes? Maybe get to know me, make sure we can trust each other. It's a thing that we see a lot of well-meaning coaches do it. I'm telling you are fucking up on a colossal level. We have transitioned from doing that thing. When you do that, by the way, you know how many, on average, John, we've had some data with this too. It's mm-hmm. like 1 out of 6 maybe will actually close a sale if they spend more than 30 or 40 minutes with the people. And we're at now, I'd have to fucking punch it in, but I would be willing to bet the people that have with our offer system are closing 80 to 90% into a product.
Oh, absolutely.
Of the time you meet with them. And the reason is it's about the solution. Again, your mechanic does, if your mechanic asks you out for coffee and to sit and talk for an hour to get, no, you know what I wanted was my car to be fixed. And then yes, I may like you and I may come in and do business with you again. And again, based on that trust, I'll be like, you know, that guy is kind of cool. Then you see him out, you be like, then you can do the other thing, but you cannot start with friendship, guys. It's fucking weird.
Tyler, we have
the boat. Be business. Do the thing they want you to do.
Absolutely. We have hard data from one of the first people we ever worked with. It was a great husband and wife team that were in a market that $55 a month was steep.
There's for a European gym membership. Market also, right?
What's that?
Is that a European market?
Right.
These two? Yes, yes, yes. Okay. Yep, yep.
And they were doing the let's talk, coffee shop, coffee talk. Let's get to know each other. You can learn about our community and our family and see if we'd be a good fit, right? Whatever that was. They were running that system and they had not successfully closed anyone when they really started running it. We came in.
They were running it for a long time.
A long time. We turned it upside down, said, this is how you should offer things. This is how you go through this system when you communicate with them. 30 minutes, tops, get out. When we talked to them last, they had closed 100% of the people that they spoke to. Anyone that they caught, they didn't have to worry about becoming friends yet. Because once they offered their services, that's where the deviation happened. Somebody that wasn't interested, they were like, well, what about this, that, and the other? And in fact, they were the ones that said, you know what? I don't think we're a good fit. They weren't being told no. They were telling other people to fuck off because they knew immediately.
Because your services should align with who you are. Bingo. Who your ideal clients are, get to it. And that's why we start. What's step one? Get your offer right. Live in the world of solving problems that your people actually think that they have and that they do have, right? That's the world. So this thing here works really, really well. This four-part thing. I talk about things that create a feedback loop of success. This is one of them because I want to map you through this again. Your offer is good. It makes sense. It's high profit margin. It allows for people to choose higher levels of service. It crushes. It aligns exactly with their needs. You harvest testimonials while you deliver success from those people. Because if your offer's right, people who choose to invest more are choosing to be more invested. They are. If you go out and buy a $5,000 television tomorrow and go out and buy a $200 television tomorrow, which one, when you do that, of those experiences, which ones are you really hoping is going to be a better TV? Truthfully, the more expensive TV, you are going to be like, you are bought in on this thing being awesome. You have a lot of optimism about this being good. You will make damn sure if someone tells you that TV is worse than the $50 TV, you're going to argue with them, whether it is or not, by the way. You're inclined to make that a positive buying experience because you have invested so much in it. It's basic buying psychology. So with that, now you have more invested clients investing, choosing higher levels of service, which help you make them more successful. Then you get testimonials from those people who are having a higher rate of success, who are more invested. And from there, you communicate their pain points to people in hopes of getting them to invest more and to invest in themselves. You have a higher rate of appeal from people because your messaging is on point. Your pain points are hitting exactly the right marks and you're not talking about yourself. From there, now you present the solutions to those issues, which means now you've generated a bunch of leads, hopefully with organic traffic, like the things we talk about, Google My Business, using testimonials on your social media. It takes time, but now you're speaking to people about the solutions of things that they want, which means you close at a much higher rate. Closing at a much higher rate loops back to your offer, which is allows them to choose higher ticket stuff. Now, all through all this process, you've got more information. What if you find throughout all of this, there's a gap? There's something I need to offer, or there's more that I can offer that would allow people to be more successful. You can retune up your offer in this, and then you continue to climb this ladder of success. Now, this shit should be in order. You should know these skills, know this very well, especially the pain point solution and the offer piece, which all kind of climb from the testimonials. That's how you get the data. Then you have something. If you want to start dipping your toes in running ads and you don't want your ads to poorly represent you, You don't want ads to be just a vapid waste of money, or you don't want ads to send some bunch of people to some low ticket shit or some bait and switch nonsense, or you don't want to be misleading. You don't want to just, you know exactly how to speak to people. You have offers that are good for you and for them. And you can present easy social validation that the stuff works. So now you, with this four-part system, now you say, all right, let's just run some ads with an offer that I'd like to run here for this. And now you're ready to rock and roll, which instead of spending, you could spend a few $100 a month. We have clients that have spent $5,000-$6,000 a month on ads, right? The important thing is whatever you sell them into, you're able to close them at a high rate, make money off the services that you're doing, and actually like have them stick around, get them results. Like, it is important. It has to work all across the board. And that piece, having these four things in offer will get you leads, or in order will get you leads. It will. I promise. It's not going to do it tomorrow. But these are the systems that you have to have in place if you want to succeed in the long run. Then you turn on ads. Now that money that you're putting into ads is worth doing. It's not something where you're just tinkering and trying and hoping. You need to eventually get into ads. I hate to break it to y'all. At some point, you can't just sit there and ignore it. Be like, I don't understand it. We got a sign out front. I keep talking about myself on social media, or I don't. Like, that doesn't work. You have to start playing the game. This is how you can learn those skills without spending money, so that you are equipped when you invest money in ads, it doesn't sink your ship.
Without having these four things figured out before you start to run ads, you are gambling with your money. And it doesn't have to be that way. If you can get these four things figured out and in check and have that confidence that you've done this exercise, you have done the work, it's no longer gambling. This is more like a gumball machine, right? You put your money in, you're very confident at what comes out because you have the data, because you know. And that is what it's all about. We want to help you stop gambling, stop wondering, not knowing what you want to post on social media, not knowing exactly how to communicate. And the way we do this is inside of our community with gym owners and personal trainers. And we're actively working on this. And you can join this community for free at community.hackyourgym.com.
That's it. That's the jam, guys. I hope I said this a few times. This might be the highest value free episode we put out. I think we should charge for this one. All right, whatever, guys. We're good to go.
Patreon.
Follow me on Instagram at Tyler Evanson. Follow the show at the Gym Owners Podcast. Go to the group. Go to the Facebook group. Links in all the descriptions. Follow John
at JBanksFL on Instagram.
If you have any questions about any of this stuff, or if you're wondering, like, well, what do you guys actually do? What can you help me with? If you want help with the thing, I always encourage you guys to get involved in the Facebook group. Get in there first. Just be there, because that's where I'm not going to post a bunch of insider information or other coaches and gym owners who have had successes. I don't blast it on our social media with their names attached out there, because then that goes to people who aren't gym owners. So we want to keep this kind of inside baseball for coaches and gym owners and personal trainers. If you're one of those people, join the group. But if you want to actually get started working with us on getting your offer right, just message us either at the podcast Instagram or my personal Instagram at Tyler F. and Sona Johns at JBanksFL. You can also email us at thedudes@hackyourgym.com. Guys, thanks for listening, everybody. We'll see